Good morning. Great to see you this morning. My name is Mark Danzy, and I feel a great connection with the Fountain. This is the third time that I've been here to preach since you were birthed by Andy and Mandy Lett several years ago. I guess it's been 4 or 5 years now. 5 years. Incredible. And I've been able to come here and do a marriage seminar, and so my connection with you goes way back. It goes all the way back to Andy in high school. I knew Andy when he was a little baseball player at Duluth, and he would visit my youth group when I was a youth pastor over there with his girlfriend, which is not his wife now, so let's don't talk about that. But I love your pastor. He's a great man of God. And I wanted to bring you greetings. I currently serve over at Mount Pisgah Methodist, over Alpharetta, Johns Creek, Roswell. I don't know what you want to call it. It's kind of there in the corner. But I don't want to bring you greetings from them. I want to bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Russia. I've been over in Russia for the last 10 days and been teaching at the Moscow Seminary. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I want you to know this, that the Fountain, when you come to church here and you worship and you serve and all that kind of stuff, you literally are reaching all around the world. Your contributions, your prayers, you have impact in places that you don't even know of. And so being over there and working in Russia and Moscow and teaching in the seminary and working with local pastors and seeing the passion they have for Jesus, I met nobody that was a second-generation Christian. Everybody I met in Russia is a first-generation Christian. They were raised by atheist parents or parents that really don't serve the Lord, and they've come to know Jesus. The Lord has no boundaries. He doesn't listen to communism when communism says, you know, we can't let you in. He doesn't listen to that. He goes in anyway. And so I just want to bring you greetings from them. I was in Russia corresponding with Andy about this service, actually, and I had the folks over there say a prayer for the Fountain Methodist Church. So isn't that cool that people in Russia are praying for you specifically? I hope you'll reciprocate that and pray for them as well, because they need your prayers. We have, just a little side note about that, Russia has 11 time zones. Did you know that? 11, we have four. They have 11 time zones. The country is huge. And in the entire country of Russia, there's 100 Methodist churches. That's how sparse that we are over there. We have, in the district that this church is in, we have 55 in Atlanta, Roswell area. 55 Methodist churches. They have 100 over 11 time zones. And so they need your prayers. They're up against a mountain of resistance, but they're serving the Lord faithfully. They're worshiping on Sunday mornings. They're serving. They're giving. They're tithing. They're preaching, they're praying, and we need to lift them up. So here's my encouragement to you. Whenever you see anything on the news about Russian hackers or you watch a Bond film and everybody in Russia is always evil and all that stuff, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You have brothers and sisters over there that are loving and raising families and trying to worship the Lord, and so we want to lift them up in our prayers this morning. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the book of Jonah. Jonah's a character in the Bible, a story that people who don't even read the Bible know about. It's fascinating. You can go all over the world in different cultures, and every culture has their version of the story of Jonah. And you may have not read Jonah lately, but you know the story, right? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and for like 30 seconds give them what you know about the story of Jonah. Ready? Go. Okay, was there anybody who had a story of a big fish involved in it? Is that part? Yeah, you can't talk about Jonah without talking about the big fish. But this morning I want to talk to you more about kind of how Jonah dealt with issues in his life. Because I think we can take off the pages of Scripture and apply it to our own life. And so here's the question I want to ask you. What do you do when your life gets interrupted? You know, you have your plans, you have your schedule set out, maybe it's your day or your week or your month or your year, and then all of a sudden things happen and your life gets interrupted. How do you respond to that? Are you usually grateful for the interruptions? No, I mean, usually interruptions challenge us because we think we have our life scheduled. We think we have our life mapped out, and then things come along and interrupt us. I remember years ago, my wife and I had built our dream home up in Buford on Hamilton Mill Road, and we loved it, and we loved the area, and we loved the church we were serving, And then this guy calls me and offers me a position at a different church. And I was like, no, thank you. We really like where we're at. And God wouldn't have us sell our dream home, surely. And would God do that? I mean, come on, he's a loving God, right? And so I went to one of my friends. I was telling him about it. And I said, you know, surely God wouldn't want us to sell our dream home. And he said, well, he would if it's not God's dream home. I'm like, oh, I hate friends like that. You know, the ones that are honest. So my life, our life was kind of interrupted. We had this plan. I wonder how you deal with life's interruptions. I wonder what level of frustration you deal with. Well, Jonah's life was interrupted. Jonah was a prophet in Israel. He was serving God. He had notoriety. He was comfortable in his neighborhood. He had a good job. He had a good family. He had a good house. I mean, everything was on cruise control, autopilot, when the Lord speaks to him and totally interrupts his life. Let's look at it. Jonah chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. I would love to preach the whole book of Jonah to you, but it takes several weeks, and so since I only have about 15 more minutes, I'll go with just these first three verses. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, here's how Jonah dealt with the interruptions in his life. But Jonah ran. Say that with me. But Jonah ran. He ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, which we know is modern-day Tel Aviv, if you've seen that on the news, and where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You see, even a great prophet like Jonah, even a man of God that the Bible speaks about and Jesus will later endorse, had his moments of running. When life interrupted him, when God's plan interrupted his plan, how did he respond? He ran. But look at what he did. He ran he was supposed to go to Nineveh. Well, Nineveh, from where he was only 500 miles northeast. 500 miles. But instead, he runs 2,000 miles to Tarshish. Can you imagine that? I mean, God has called him kind of a short distance for that day. And he runs the exact opposite direction. How many times have you and I done that? God says, do this, and instead of saying okay and doing it, we look for some other option, a plan B or a plan C. And so this overview of Jonah is this, is that he's on the run. I think Bruce Springsteen's song, Baby, We Were Born to Run, I think it was about Jonah. He just doesn't know that yet. We'll let him know. And so his response to God's call, God's interruption in his life, was to flee. You and I, we have that same response, whether it's in our relationships or in our careers or challenges. When we face challenges, we typically have one of three reactions to that, and it's fight, you've heard this, flight, or even freeze. In Jonah's case, it was flight. Pew, he was out of there. He ran from not only from this challenge, but from God's call on his life. What do you do when your life is interrupted? How do you typically respond? Well, Jonah's name was actually pronounced Yonah, and if you go up to the North Georgia Mountains, you'll know there is a Mount Yonah up there. It would be actually in Hebrew pronounced that way. So next time you're up there, just call it Mount Jonah. People think you're crazy, but that's okay. But the book of Jonah, everybody knows this book, no matter what culture you're in. They all have their different stories of it. But regardless of what you think about it, I don't think it's a parable. Some people will think, well, maybe it was just like an allegory or a parable that was being told. Because for a guy to go into the water and into a fish for 3 days and then be, you know, like whale vomited on the shore, I mean, that just doesn't sound like, you know, maybe people were just kind of stretching or metaphor. But I don't think it was that. I actually think it happened. Because Jesus would later on endorse it in Matthew 12. Way, years and years later, Jesus would say this. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. It's really, the story of Jonah is a story of resurrection. And so Jesus would use his going into the tomb for 3 days and coming out, he would use it in parallel with Jonah's story. And he doesn't say as it was in the story of Jonah. I mean, he literally says as it was for Jonah. That's why I believe that it was true. And so this whole story of Jonah could be summed up in so many different ways. It's not just about a man and a fish. It's not about a man on the run. It's really a book of miracles. If you want to see one book of the Bible, four chapters, a very small book, four chapters, 48 verses, that has a story of absolute miracles, you will see the book of Jonah. It's a storm that arises out of nowhere and is calmed instantly. It's a story of death and resurrection, just like in the life of Christ. It's the story of a repentance of an entire city. When Jonah finally does obey the Lord and goes to Nineveh, the entire city repents and follows God. A wicked city, the Lord called it. The story, it's about prejudice and racism. You see, Jonah was actually racist. He was prejudiced. When God said, go there, he was like, I ain't going to, not those people. And he went the other way. That's racism. That's prejudice. And God heals him of that. It's actually just another miracle. And it really gives us the beautiful picture of God as being a God of second chances. Of all the attributes of God, let me tell you the one I'm most grateful for, is that God is a God of second chances. I mean, how many of us have blown it on the first chance? Is it just me? Is it just me and the sound guy? Is that it? Okay. Sorry. I mean, many of us have blown God's will for our life or have blown God's direction for our life the first time around. It was with Jonah. He ran the other way, but God gives him a second chance. Some of us are on our plan B. Some of us are on plan C. Some of us are on... I thank God for a huge alphabet, don't you? I mean, some of us are on plan W right now. We are so stubborn from listening to what God's telling us to do. And so God just continues to show up in his grace, and he continues to encourage us no matter how difficult the circumstances. Because what we see as an interruption is usually an invitation. Let me say that again. What you and I see in our life as an interruption... Why did this happen? Man, what is going on here? It's probably an invitation from God in disguise. You just have to look a little harder. The things that we tend to fuss about the most may very well be the things that the Lord is inviting us to and to grow into. At least that's the way it was with Jonah. You know, parenting in a difficult situation, parenting a prodigal, is a very difficult place. When it comes to the story of the prodigal son, there's three characters. There's the prodigal son. I was him for a while in my life. I ran from God, ate with the pigs. It was ugly. But then when I became into the faith, I literally became like the brother who was kind of a religious Pharisee, looked down my nose at people and became judgmental and forgot what it was like to be broken. I became that person for a while. But now as a father of four adults, one of my children is a prodigal, and I can tell you that playing the parent of the prodigal is the hardest because we have these dreams and plans for our kids' life, and when they rebel or stray away, it's so difficult to watch that. But you know, God's been watching that over your life for a long time. God's had these dreams and visions for you, directions that he wanted you to go in, and we have just doubled back and gone our own way. He said, I want you to go over here, and we went, heck no, I'm going this way. And then tragedy comes or difficulty comes. And we can't understand why a loving God would let us go through something difficult. You know why? It's because he called you to Nineveh and you've been running to Tarshish. That's why. Ask Jonah. And so Jonah finds himself in this place on a boat when a storm arises. But you see, Jonah is on the run. I mean, yeah, he may be on a boat. He may be asleep in the bottom, as the scripture tells us. But he's on the run because that's what Jonah does. He runs. How about you? What do you do when life gets difficult? What do you do when interruptions come in your way? Do you run? Do you flee? Well, if you do, you're in good company. You got a lot in common with Jonah. You got a lot in common with Forrest Gump. Wasn't that a great movie? That's one of those movies, like a lot of movies, where I say, oh, kids, you got to watch this movie with me in about 10 minutes. And I'm like, no. You ever have those movies? Well, Forrest Gump, though, is a great story. It's about a guy on the run. Remember the you know, run, Forrest, run? You know it. It actually kind of became the pattern of his life, all from a child all the way to the University of Alabama, all the way to Vietnam, all the way till eventually he runs across the country two or three times. He gets the big beard and is running to Jackson Brown's theme. You remember that? Yeah. But there's a scene in there that's really interesting. It's where Jenny is the one telling him to do it. And she says early on in the movie, run, Forrest, run. Remember that? And then later she goes, listen, you promised me something, Forrest, okay? If you're ever in trouble, don't be brave. You just run, okay? Run away. Listen to that advice for a second. If you're ever in trouble, run. Run away. Now, Jenny meant well, I think, but that's horrible advice. That's the advice some of us witnessed in our parents. That's some of the advice that you and I have been listening to that's bad advice. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. Eventually in the movie, when Forrest runs back and forth across the country, he stops. There's this crowd of people following him. They're like, he's going to say something. And he looks at him. He says, I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to go home now. Probably the most brilliant thing that he says in the entire movie. And so Jonah never came to that until life put him in the belly of the beast. And so for you and I, when life has interruptions, how do we respond? Are we still responding to that terrible advice that we got maybe as children or even young adults of when life gets difficult, run away, quit, get divorced, find a new job, cover it with addiction, whatever it is? You and I have found these ways to run instead of facing these demons or these beasts head on. It certainly was a story of Jonah until he's on the boat and he can't run anymore. And so you know the story. There's this huge storm comes up and the pagans start throwing cargo overboard, and Jonah comes up and he says, guys, you don't have to throw anything else overboard. You need to throw me overboard, because let me tell you why this storm is happening. It's because it's my God, and I've been disobedient, and just throw me overboard and the storm will stop. Another miracle in the book. And so they do, and they throw Jonah overboard, and a huge fish comes along and swallows him. Swallows him, and what he saw, and you and I would think, that would be the worst thing that could ever happen. I mean, how many of you still, when you go to the ocean and you swim, you think, I wonder what's below me right now, you know? I'm just grateful that the video of Andy didn't pan down and show him in a Speedo. I'm very grateful for that this morning. I can imagine him on a float out there. You know, you ever done that? You're out on the beach, you're floating, and then all of a sudden you hear the theme from Jaws. It's in your head. I mean, getting eaten by a huge fish, that would be like the worst thing that ever happened. But it wasn't. You see, God sent that fish and swallowed Jonah, and it actually put him back on track. Let me show you why I mean that. Because Jonah's headed to Tarshish. God wanted him to go to Nineveh. And the direction the boat is going is this way. They throw him over. The fish comes along. Guess where the fish takes him back to? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the scene? You're on the beach, maybe with your family. You got the, you know, umbrella drink and all this. And all of a sudden, this fish comes up. Bleh, you know, and here comes a prophet. He's like, whew. I mean, that would be really weird. But it's Jonah. And God has provided for him what he saw, again, was another interruption, another horrible thing happening, was actually God's provision to put him back on track. Now, how can we relate this to our life? Well, what difficulties have you found yourself in that probably weren't just bad luck? They were probably bad decisions. They were decisions that you and I made that we didn't pray about. Oh, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to follow that. No, we thought, what do I want to do? And we follow that decision, and we wind up in a storm, or we wind up in the belly of the beast, or we wind up laying in a as a whale loogie on the beach somewhere, wondering what in the world just happened. I mean, we find ourselves in difficult places. And what we would see as punishment, I want you to hear this morning. What we would see as punishment, God would call pruning. Now, remember when Jesus was with the disciples and he said that a gardener prunes a branch. Why? Remember that story? Why did he say the gardener would prune a branch, clip it off? Why would he do that? So it would sprout more. It would bear more fruit. Now, you and I, we don't typically see pruning. We don't ever really say, God is pruning me. We think God is punishing us. But maybe it's not the case. Maybe the difficult circumstance that you're facing right now is God pruning you. Maybe God has such a wonderful plan for your life, and it's so good, and you and I have gotten off track, that God is pruning us, putting us back on track so that we can live in his will and be blessed. And we're thinking, oh, God, why is this happening? And God's saying, I'm pruning you because I love you, and I want you to bear more fruit in your life. You see, the difficulty you and I face is trying to discern between punishment and pruning. It's very difficult when you're hurting or when you're stressed out or when you're in the middle of it. And of course, Jonah finds himself in this way. I can imagine that Jonah wasn't in the belly of the beast saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for this free ride back to home. I'm sure he wasn't saying that. No, but that was what was happening. And so this story of Jonah, this life is something that you and I can really learn from. It's something that you and I can really take to heart and ask God, God, what are you doing in my life? What is it about me that when difficulties come, like Jonah, I run? What am I running from? What am I running to? Many of us this morning, I just want to go ahead and say it, because in any congregation of any size, there's always somebody that is running from God. There is always somebody that is on the run. And man, let me tell you what, the only place that's going to lead you to is disappointment and exhaustion. When you run from God, you're running to your own demise. There are others in here this morning that are running to God. We're all running somewhere. You're either running from God or you're running to God. Maybe God has asked you to serve in the church and you've run from that. Maybe God has asked you to reach out to a difficult situation or someone that has hurt you or someone that you hurt, and you've run from that. I don't know what you're running from this morning, but let me encourage you to just stop. Just stop running. If you're going to run, run towards God. Run towards those who you know love God, whose life align with his will. Did you know the word to righteousness means alignment? Many of us, we at one point in our life were aligned with God, and then we just take a right or we take a left, and before we know it, we're out of sync with God, with God's will for our life. I would say to you this morning that God is calling you to come back into alignment. Come back into his will. And the story of Jonah is so cool because guess what Jonah decides to do once he gets thrown up on the beach? Guess what? Any clues? Yeah, you can go home and read the story today. I really recommend you read it. He actually goes where God said to go the first time. He could have saved himself that whole journey, all that pain, all that misery and destruction, to find himself back. And he goes into Nineveh, and guess what? God was right. The city of Nineveh repents, and they come to faith. And it would have happened, and Jonah would have sidetracked all that hardship, all that difficulty, all that pain that he experienced. But you see, that pain, that difficulty, and that those experiences came because he, my friends, was running from God. How about you this morning? What do you do when life gets difficult? What do you do when interruptions come? What would you do this morning if God told you to take a different path in your life than the one you're on right now? Would you embrace it? Would you say, yes, Lord, bring it on? Or would you run like crazy in the other direction? Maybe you'd say, no, I wouldn't run. Because remember, I said there are three responses to that kind of call in our life, invitation from God, and it's fight, flight, or freeze. Maybe you've been fighting God's will. God, surely you're wrong. Surely you picked the wrong person here to do that. Lord, I can't do that. What's the matter with you? What are you thinking? That's not for me. We just box with God. You can't box with God. I mean, you can, but it's not going to work out well. So fight or flight like Jonah, or maybe we just freeze. And God has, I've known so many pastors and so many people in ministry, so many worship leaders that started doing it later in life as a second or third career because they ran from it their first and second career. And they'll always say, you know, God called me when I was young and I just ran the other way. Man, we are so much like Jonah, it's not even funny. If you can't relate to this guy's story, you haven't read it, because we, so many times, instead of just following God's will simply, we run. So here's a question. What is God's will? Well, I get asked that question a lot. As a pastor, I also do marriage counseling. I'm a life coach for people. And they're always wanting to know, you know, what do you think God's will is here? And I love telling people, I know exactly what God's will is for you. They always think, wow, either he's lying or he's making this up. I mean, how does he know exactly what God's will for me? I know exactly what God's will is because I've read it in the Bible. And in Romans 12:1, he says, don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. Well, what's the pattern of this world? Pursuit of comfort and pleasure, instant gratification, selfishness. That's the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. So here's what I say to people. Well, if I'm going to stop running and follow God's will, what does that mean? What do I do? Here's what you do. You start renewing your mind. Because once your mind is renewed, then you'll know God's will for your life. That is what we need to be doing. But how do you do that? Well, I would recommend one of these groups this fall. You know, get into with other people. Study the scriptures. Pray together. Share life experiences. Quit running from that and start engaging in that. Try to figure out together what's God's will for my life. What's God's will for your life? What does it mean to renew our minds? What does it mean to live in alignment with God? This is how you can get off the boat headed in the wrong direction. This is how you can really align yourself back with God's will. I want to ask you this question this morning as we close. How do you deal with life's interruptions? How do you deal with life's interruptions when it might be God telling you to do something? Do you run? Well, let me tell you something. It didn't work out well for Jonah, and he was a prophet. So it's probably not going to work out well for us to run. Do you fight? Do you battle with God? Do you just ignore God? Do you think if I just stop listening to Christian music or reading the Bible or praying, then somehow God will leave me alone? Is that what we... When your children ignore you as a parent, do you just let them go their own way for the rest of their life? Of course not. Have you frozen? Do you feel stunted in your life? Do you feel like, you know, I've just kind of hit a wall here where I feel like my tires are spinning in the mud and I don't have any traction forward? Is that what you feel like? Because if that is, then I think this morning is for you. I think the story of Jonah gives us new perspective to stop, listen, and follow what God's telling us to do. Now, I don't know exactly what God's telling you to do this morning in the area of your relationships or your career, but I do know that God is asking you to begin to renew your mind so that you can follow his will for your life. This is God's will for your life. And those of us this morning that are on the run, just remember this, that God is a God of second chances. And for some of us, he's even a God of third chances. And for some of us, he's even a God of fourth chances. But I don't know how many chances after that he gives. I want to pray for you this morning, but I want to pray most importantly that you would clearly begin to hear what God is telling you to do even while you're on the run. It worked for Jonah, and I believe it'll work for you and I. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the heart that they have to love and to serve this community. I thank you for its leadership, but this morning, Lord, I thank you for those who came in here on the run, who have kind of stiff-armed you with their life and have tried to live out what we think is our own will and that maybe you'll just bless it. But God, this morning in the life of Jonah, you have shown us clearly that you have a plan for us. And we can run to the far ends of the earth to avoid it. But God, you'll meet us there too. And Lord, the beauty of a life surrendered is the life of peace. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of impact. And so God, I pray that for every life that's in this room, that's tires are spinning in the mud or headed in the wrong direction, that God, you would turn us back toward you this morning. Turn us back toward your will for our life. And to not take the advice that Forrest got from Jenny, which is when life gets hard, run. But that we would not run, but we would be still. And that we'd know that you're God. Speak to us, I pray, oh God. In Jesus' name.